compete in the AFC North, you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit. This team is going to be built on toughness.
We're going to go out and get better every day.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, begins now.
Good evening, Dog Pound, and welcome to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura here with head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Coach Pettine. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you. It is your show, after all. You should be here. All right, let's go back to last Sunday briefly. What are the positives you can take out of that game against the Raiders?
There are some. We did some. I thought the biggest positive was that we didn't quit at the end. I've been around teams that have gotten down that significant a margin and went ahead and just shut it down and went ahead and played it out. So very proud of the way that we got some stops on D. And then offensively, we were able to get a couple scores and get it to within one score at the end, but unfortunately left ourselves zero margin for error and things didn't fall our way at the end.
You seemed extremely disappointed, I think, coming out of that game. And one of the things that I think you highlighted were the missed tackles. What can you do in practice with this CBA to kind of try to fix that midweek?
Emphasize it. I mean, I think you got to show them examples of great tackles. You drill it as best you can without live tackling, and just players need to know understand the why. What happened? Did they not bring their feet far enough with them? Did they not wrap? Were they just trying to tackle with the shoulder? Was it the angle that they took? Those types of things that they need to understand. You can't just tell them, hey, we need to tackle better. I mean, they need to understand the why and work on getting it corrected.
All right, let's turn our attention now, as you have to do in the NFL, to the San Diego Chargers. First West Coast trip as a head coach. What are the challenges of that for you and this team?
I think the challenge is we're going to play a pretty good football team. I mean, the Chargers, led by Phillip Rivers, have been playing some great offense for a long time in this league. Defensively, I think they're very good, very aggressive. I think it's a challenge. I know they have some injury issues that they're dealing with, but we can't get caught up in that. That we have our own problems that we have to focus on. It's more about us than them. But I think our guys are looking forward. Hey, let's get on the road and take that bunker mentality, us against the world, and get a win on the West Coast.
You talked about their injuries, and a lot of those are up front on their offensive line where they've been susceptible to the pass rush. And for us, it's been down, up, down in terms of the pass rush. What do you have to do to kind of get that more consistent, and how can you start that this week against the Chargers?
Well, some of it is a function of what the opponent's doing. If they don't want us to get to the quarterback and they want to catch it and get the ball out quick, it'll be difficult to get to him. But we need to at least affect him. And I think that Rivers is a veteran quarterback. He understands coverages. We have to do a good job of disguising, not letting them know what we're in, at least pre-snap. And just being us, not coming out of structure. If we get a chance to affect the quarterback, we will. But to me, it's all about being disciplined, guys doing their jobs, and seeing how the game unfolds.
Running the ball and stopping the run, that's going to be the core of this team. How close are you to kind of getting there?
I think we're close. We've shown flashes. I think our level of consistency has to improve. Stopping the run has been frustrating because I thought for the first half we defended the run very well against Oakland.
Uh-huh.
Gave up some big ones. And I know the average ended up being what it was, but the number of runs that we effectively defended was very high. And that's disappointing when you give up those chunk runs. And that was a big part of our problem a year ago. And the tackling falls into that. And we know we understand the issues and want to get them corrected. Running the ball, I think we need to do just elevate our level of play across the board. I think offensive line-wise, we did some good things. But still, there were just enough minuses, just enough technical errors that we were missing some blocks. And running back-wise, I know there were some runs those guys want to have back that were blocked well enough to either score or gain significant yardage. And we didn't see it. We didn't read it right and ended up in the wrong spot. So I just think it's a function of details. We know how to do it. We know we're capable of doing it.
Sure.
But I think in most games, it's who's the most consistent. Teams are going to make great plays. All NFL teams are going to make great plays over the course of a game. Who can make the most and who can avoid the bad ones?
Speaking of stopping the run, kind of an interesting challenge with the Chargers. They've got Melvin Gordon, the young running back out of Wisconsin, and then, of course, they also have Danny Woodhead, two guys who are completely different, really, in what they do. What kind of challenges does that present in terms of preparation?
Well, first is awareness. We have to know who's on the field, and they do a good job mixing both those guys in and out. They'll use them both on third down. It's not one's exclusive over the other one. And Gordon is a home run threat. That he had some big runs in college. He was very high on our draft board coming out. It's not a big surprise that he's done what he's done. And then Woodhead, I was with in New York.
Right.
I'm a big fan of Danny, and he's a heck of a person and an even better player. But to me, he's a guy that's it's a mismatch problem that I think you got to, you know, force him to do some things that he's not necessarily comfortable with, and get some guys on him and make sure that you can either bracket them, or I think just one-on-one against a linebacker is a mismatch in their favor. So I just think we have to be very mindful of where he is and what he's up to.
In terms of their receivers, similar in some ways to Oakland, they have a young star in Keenan Allen, and they have not an aging veteran, but a guy with his second team who's out to kind of prove that he was jettisoned unfairly in Steve Johnson, who you know from your time in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. What worries you the most about their passing game with Phil Rivers and those two guys?
Well, he had Malcolm Floyd to the mix.
Right.
I told the team that this might be the best trio overall, best set of three that we've gone against. And they can all make plays, and I think Rivers does a good job of he doesn't play favorites. That I know the ball goes to Allen a lot, but I think that's more of a product of the scheme that's getting him open. But he's not afraid to throw to the tight ends, even with Gates out. Their tight end group has been productive, and he gets the ball to the running backs, and just kind of given their state of circumstances with their offensive line. And I mean, I could see him just spreading the ball out and throwing it underneath and picking and choosing their shots up top. So. I think that whole skill group, not just the wideouts, poses a real big threat.
How confident are you in your three Pro Bowlers in the secondary, Tashaun Gibson, Dante Whitner, and Joe Hayden, to kind of bounce back and get to the level that was maybe expected of them before the season?
Yeah, they have to. I mean, that's where we are. That we talk about, you know, we want to be mentioned as one of the best secondaries in the league, and right now we're not playing like that. We're not covering like that. We're not tackling like that. Now, some of it I'll give the opponent, you know, you tip of the hat. There are some throws that are made to good receivers and balls located well that'll be hard to defend. And on some of those plays, you just tip your hat and you move on. But there are some plays where we could have played better, that we could have defended better, and we need to make those plays. You only get so many opportunities, and that's what I've been stressing to the team. We work so hard in the offseason. We log all those hours in the spring, and then you carry that to training camp and put all those in, and you only get so many opportunities to go out and play, and you can't waste them. So guys have to understand how important and how valuable those reps are, and we get a chance to make plays, we got to make them.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. When we return on Mike Pettine Coach's Show, brought to you by Liberty Ford, we're going to go out on the field with Gary Barnes, talk about his touchdown against the Raiders, and we'll get into the ever-popular and ever-growing hashtag AskPet right after this.
The Mike Pettine Interview, brought to you by Elk and Elk.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, brought to you by Liberty Ford. Time now for the PNC Bank Film Breakdown. As we head out to the practice field, where I caught up with big play Gary Barnes to talk about his game, a career high, 105 yards on 6 catches, and of course that touchdown against the Oakland Raiders. Here with Gary Barnage, or as we all know him, Big Play Gare, coming off of a career game, 6 catches, 105 yards and a touchdown. But I know you're not going to be excited about that because the team didn't get the victory. But what was it like at this point in your career to have the best game you've ever played statistically?
It was good for that aspect, but like you said, we didn't win the game, so all that doesn't really matter. So we got to come out and do better this week.
Going into the game against Oakland, they'd struggle with Tyler Eifert week one, Crockett Gilmore week two. Did you know that this was, you were going to be a big part of this game plan, and it was a week where you were going to have a lot of success?
Well, we didn't really game plan like for a certain guy or anything. I think the receivers did a great job running the routes, and then Josh was able to find me. They helped get me open. That's all it was, really.
All right, let's go into the biggest play of the game, certainly for you, and it's our play of the game. That's why we're covering it here, the 28-yard touchdown from Josh McCown. Where were you lined up? What was your route? And where were you kind of fitting into that play pre-snap?
I started on the left side, and they motioned me over to the right, to the one receiver side, and then I had a corner route. And Josh looked at his first two reads, and they weren't there, so he actually went to the third read, which rarely happens in the NFL, and he was able to hit me on the sideline, and I was able to stay in bounds and score a touchdown.
Delivers complete, touchdown!
When you saw pre-snap and you knew you ended up basically man-to-man there, was that the look you were hoping to get in that play?
Well, we were expecting them to be a zone, but they've been mixing throughout the whole game, so we weren't really sure what they were going to be in. And it just happened to be the guy who was covering me was far inside, and he didn't jump right away.
All right, so I'm gonna be him. So when you have this as a receiver and you're going to your corner here, and I'm trailing you, did you know at that point you had it? Was it just a matter of getting the ball, or did you have to kind of, did you slow down to create that space? He was more over here. He was here? Okay.
Like, he was over there, and so I didn't see him. I'm looking over here, and I turn, and I'm not worried about where he's at. I'm just making sure it's a good angle for the quarterback to throw the ball.
And he didn't put it right out there. Yeah. Nice catch. He walked in there. And
that was a perfect throw.
Barnage into the end zone. Josh McCown after the fourth down.
Massive touchdown celebration from you. Like, very massive. Is that?
I try.
If we were ahead at that point, would we have gotten some? Is there?
Yes. I'm not a big guy to celebrate, but if we're ahead, then I might give you a little something.
Okay.
But we were behind, so it's not the right time to do it.
Would it be wrestling related? I know you're a big 100%
fan. Would be wrestling related.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to look forward to that. We got to be in the lead, and then we'll get big play Gary in the end zone. Gary, thanks so much. Congrats on the game.
No problem.
Good luck against the Chargers.
I appreciate it.
All right, Coach, we saw Gary Barnage out there on the field. Career day for him, 6 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown. What does he bring to this team? I feel like he's one of the unsung, reliable heroes of the Cleveland Browns.
I think the first thing with Gary that you notice is his consistency. He knows what to do. I think he has very few mental mistakes. We move him around, put him in a variety of spots. I think he's got very underrated ball skills. He runs good routes. I mean, he gets open, knows what to do. He gets open and he catches the football, and he knows what to do with it afterwards. So, I think he's just very underrated as an NFL tight end. We're very fortunate to have him.
Second leading receiver on the Browns right now, 160 yards, averaging 16 yards a catch. That's why they call him Big Play Gare. All right, we're going to get into the Twitter questions for you with that hashtag AskPet segment, and we'll start with this. Number one. When you play on the West Coast, do you alter your schedule to adjust for the time change?
I think you have to because if you don't, and then you end up having your let's say our team meeting on Saturday night is normally at 9 p.m. Now we'd be meeting at midnight from our body clock standpoint.
Sure.
If you go to the other extreme and you want to meet at 9 p.m. East Coast time, you're looking at 6 p.m. out there. So it's We'll be somewhere in the middle, knowing that we have an additional 3 hours to play with on the next day. So we make some adjustments to the time. You know, we'll get the guys, we'll get them their room, the curtains pulled shut, and you know, hopefully they can get to bed with the rooms darkened. But we don't go overboard with it, but just something we're mindful of, and you know, that's why we go out late and try to keep our schedule as simple as possible.
All right, Coach, take us through a game day, a Sunday morning, from the time your alarm goes off, whatever time that is. What's kind of your routine leading up to kickoff?
I like to review my notes for the game over breakfast. So I'll go down and there's a cup of coffee and, you know, a little something light to eat. Just reminders from the day before, from the staff meeting, and just kind of going through the week just to kind of collect thoughts. And then I like to get to the stadium. If it's an away trip, I'll take the early bus, which gets us, you know, within about 3 hours before kickoff. Home games probably a little closer to 2 hours before kickoff. And then it's just there's a lot of, you know, official stuff that I have to deal with before the game, the inactives. I'll come in and the officials come in. I'll meet with them. Just maybe some last minute reminders for the players. Just kind of walk the locker room, check the mindset. And then it's just, you know, get out on the field and get a sense for it. So I don't like going out to the field early. I know some coaches do. It's an opportunity where you see some of the coaching fraternity, see some guys from around the league. I don't do that as much as maybe I did when I was an assistant. But you know, game day morning's pretty low key for me. The nerves don't really strike me until they always seem to hit me right around the national anthem.
Okay.
And then I can feel my heart start to race a little bit, and then that as soon as the ball's kicked off, then it all disappears and you get into coaching mode. But and that's pretty much my day up until kickoff.
I will say you have the most focused walk onto the field of anybody I've ever seen. You are locked in. I don't even try to look. I'm going to look over there. I don't want to get the evil eye from you. All right, what's on your call sheet on game day? And is it different as a head coach or as a coordinator? Do you even have a call sheet as a head coach?
I do. Okay. I have what I do is I'll carry the defensive call sheet, and because on the back of it I have a lot of the game management situations on, you know, what the timeouts during, you know, whether it's a 4 minute mode, whether it's other teams trying to run the clock out, whether we're trying to stop it before 2 minute, the 2 point chart, uh-huh. You know, just some of the situational stuff that comes up, and then Kurt Roper's our senior offensive assistant on staff, that he's up in the booth, he and I are constantly talking throughout the game as far as. You know, those types of situations, I also have on that call sheet all the officials' names and their numbers. So if I do want to compliment them on the great call they just made, I can look it up and say, "Hey, Bob, that's a great call."
That was really nice. I like how you picked that flag up. That was tremendous.
Yes. So, and then just also, so I can just kind of keep my hand in defensively, just some of the situational stuff that I think Jim O'Neill does a good job breaking up the call sheet into, it's very flow chartish. You know, if they're in this personnel grouping, in this area of the field, this down and distance, these are our calls that we work during the week, and this is what we've planned to be successful. And then all the special situation stuff he has on there, the goal line, the short yardage, the red zone, the 2 minute, those are all separated as well.
That's pretty cool. Coach, well, thank you very much. Good luck this Sunday against San Diego.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with Isaiah Crowell for our player interview when the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, brought to you by Liberty Ford, returns.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, brought to you by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura joined now by Isaiah Crowell, the Crow, as it is time for our player interview. And Crow, obviously it's been an up and down season. Down week one, up week two, down last week. What's kind of the mood of this offense right now?
I feel like we just got to, get consistent. I feel like, and, we just got to get things going on the right track and just keep it going, throughout the rest of the season.
What's kind of the key for success for the Browns running the football?
It's just everybody as a whole. It takes everybody, receivers blocking out field, running backs, hitting the right holes.
All right, when you look at this matchup with San Diego, teams have had success running the football against them so far. When you go into a game like that, is that emphasized? Is that something John G. Poole is going to say, look, we will run the ball this game, it's going to be important to us?
I feel like it should be important to run the ball against these guys, especially just because they have given up so much in the run game. But, we'll see what the coaches have in mind.
All right, so football on the field, but I know off the field you like playing football as well in Madden, right?
Yeah.
All right, when you play, and you said you play, you told me before, you play as the Packers and the Browns.
Right.
When you're the Browns, how many carries a game is Isaiah Crowell averaging?
At least 25. Yeah, got to give myself at least 25 carries.
At least 25?
Yeah, see what I can do.
So you're hoping to dial up the Madden Crow this week against the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the kind of difference in your preparation, if anything, that you have to do going east to west?
I just feel like, just getting the right things in your body, just getting ready.
What do you think is the biggest difference in your game this year compared to last year?
I feel like this year I can play better. I know the right reads. Pass protection has been better. I just feel like overall, just all around better.
What's going to happen if you do get 25 carries in a game? What happens in Madden and what's going to happen in real life?
I feel like, I can give at least a buck 20.
Buck 20?
At least.
Maybe a touchdown or two?
Yeah, at least two.
All right, at least two?
Yeah, at least two.
And next time, by the way, I've already talked to the grounds crew. They're going to have that net out of the way for you next time you get in the end zone.
Thank you.
There's no trapping the crow. Let the crow fly, folks. Let him fly.
Right.
Crow, thanks so much. Good luck on Sunday against the Chargers.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts right after this on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, brought to you by Liberty Ford.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show. Quick reminder, we've got you covered right here on News Channel 5 leading up to the kickoff against the Chargers Sunday. At 11 a.m., we're going inside the Cleveland Browns with Dustin Fox and Sarah Carnes. And then at 11:30, it's Browns Countdown from the News Channel 5 studios with Andy Baskin as he locks it down with the best pregame show in town. And as always, Channel 5 is your official broadcast partner of the Cleveland Browns, on air and online with special content you won't be able to get anywhere else. Also, FYI, on October 17th, come together with thousands of the Orange and Brown faithful at First Energy Stadium for the Cleveland Browns 5K, presented by University Hospitals and in association with Michelob Ultra. All participants will receive an official race shirt, a bone-shaped dog pound headband, and an amazing finisher medal. Log on to ClevelandBrowns.com to register. And as always, log on to ClevelandBrowns.com to vote for our high school football game of the week. This is a big game for the Browns. They're 1-2, as are the Chargers. Both teams probably feel like it's a must win. The Chargers bring one of the best offenses in the NFL to town, averaging over 400 yards of total offense. But the Browns should be able to keep that offense off the field by running the football. The Chargers are giving up over 130 yards per game on the ground. My guest from earlier, Isaiah Crowell, he and Duke Johnson are going to have big games to control this clock and keep the Browns defense off the field and keep the Chargers offense off the field. They've got a great group of triplets like we saw last week with Derek Carr, Latavius Murray, and Amari Cooper. In San Diego, they've got Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen, and Melvin Gordon, not to mention Danny Woodhead out of the backfield. The Browns will have to stop the run and pressure Phillip Rivers if they're going to have any chance defensively in this one. And that secondary, which is supposed to be the best in the league, will be tested. Hopefully the Browns are up to the test. That'll do it for the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, brought to you by Liberty Ford. We'll be back next week right here at 7:30 on News Channel 5 as the Browns prepare to take on the Baltimore Ravens. Good night, everybody.
This was the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford.